This morning's Bible reading has a call in it. Return to the Lord, or turn back to God. And I've heard, let's turn back to God at any number of church services or revival meetings throughout my life. And too often, I think that when the preacher gets up here and says, turn back to God, here's what they mean. They mean, make the government a branch of the Christian church by doing things like make sure the Ten Commandments are displayed prominently in every courthouse, or insist that faith-based groups who receive public money not be subject to things like anti-discrimination laws. We hear about those things all the time. Or sometimes when a preacher gets up and says, turn back to God, it's about demonizing same-gender-loving people and trying to enforce a particular religious view in a civil matter, and ignoring the many different Christian traditions and other religious traditions that support marriage equality. There isn't just one view. Sometimes when people say, let's turn back to God, it's as part of a rallying cry for increased spending on war, and then calling education and health care too expensive. And I know that those two are not directly connected. And I know it's a political hot button to talk about issues like that. But you know what? Committing violence in the name of the greater good is at the very least very expensive. And affordable health care and education cannot be less of a priority than killing in the name of keeping people safe. It just can't. See, turning back to God is not about these kinds of things. As a matter of fact, turning back to God disqualifies those kinds of things. In Isaiah 55, our reading today, God's call to return invites everyone to do these things. It says, drink the water, eat the food, turn away from wickedness, receive God's mercy, experience God's unconditional love, and receive God's abundant pardon. So if that's the call, I mean, raise your hand. Who's ready to turn back to God? Yes, I am ready. That's what it's about. Although I know if you listen to that list, raise your hand if you listen to the list. Raise your hand if you were zoned out during that part. Should I read the list again? Cindy. There's a middle of it. Turn away from wickedness. And that's the part that's easy to grasp a hold of. It's where the earlier list, you know, the list that I said, doesn't really fit into there. It's where that list comes from. Folks love to decide what wickedness is and then try to enforce their opinions as if they were the indisputable facts. We do it all the time. I mean, preachers, we love to do it. And of course, I present things here as the indisputable facts, but I want to let you know that you don't have to agree with everything I say. I want you to learn. I want you to take the views that you don't have and explore them, because we never learn unless we explore the views that aren't ours and try to find why a person holds that view. As far right or as far left as you are, if you're center, if you're a progressive theologian, if you're a conservative theologian, we all learn from a generous diversity of opinions when it comes to our faith, our politics, our life. I have learned that it's really senseless to argue with a person who thinks they have a corner on the truth. You ever tried to do that? I mean, you can spend some time. It's senseless to argue with someone who thinks their opinion is equal to the facts. You can have great conversation. I can be great friends with people who are sure that this is the only possible way to think. But I don't want to have an argument. I think it's just kind of useless to do that. So let's go back to Isaiah. God's call doesn't say, unless they turn away from wickedness, I will destroy them. Not here. It doesn't say, look on those who don't live the way you do and tell them that they are an abomination. Doesn't say that. And I know that there are places in the Bible where we can take it and we can, without even twisting it, turn it into something to shun a particular group or person. But it doesn't fit definitely with Isaiah. It doesn't fit with this thought here. Isaiah says, let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It says something about an everlasting covenant. And how long does an everlasting covenant last? Anyone want to guess? Yeah, it doesn't break. It can't be God makes an everlasting covenant with someone, and then they do something wrong, and God says, well, you broke your side, so I'm breaking my side. No, that's not how an everlasting covenant works. God says, this is what I will do. And everyone else does what they're going to do, right or wrong, and God says, but this is what I'm going to do. We can find passages of people disobeying God and then facing destruction in the Bible. But we have to keep continually in mind that whole meta-narrative. I've mentioned it before. Do you remember the meta-narrative of the Bible? Is that a big word? If I say it again, you'll remember next time, right? The meta-narrative, God creates. What do? We mess up. And then God does something good, recreates, renovates, revives. And then we mess up. And God does something good and we... What's God's job? What's our job? Are we good at it?
Yes.
We are good at it. A little further in Isaiah, just a couple of verses. The meta-narrative shines through, too. From Isaiah 56:8. Thus says the Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Not I will shun those who are outside. I will gather the ones who aren't part of the fold because they're all part of the fold. Because God is not about rejection. God is not about exploitation or domination by anyone. By anyone, for anyone, none of those things. God is about one thing. Boil it down to one word. Everything flows from that one word. It is love. It is love. And then following God's two most important rules. Remember those? See, it's quiz day today. What are God's two most important rules? Love. Love. In following those two most important rules, to love God and to love everyone, we can't be about rejection or exploitation. Can't even say it. Can't do it. Can't say it. Rejection, exploitation, or domination. Dominion of or by anyone. We have to be about love. We have to be about an open invitation. We must be about giving drink to the thirsty. We must be about feeding the hungry. We must be about helping people to experience the new life that God has in store. We must be about showing mercy. We must be about showing God's unconditional love. We must be about forgiveness. We must be about this undeniable compassion, caring for someone. But then there's the question, what if we're not feeling it? You ever have a day where you're just not feeling it? You know what? Don't want to feed the hungry. Don't have any compassion. Just leave me alone. Another raise your hand time. Ready? Who's had a leave me alone day? What if we're just barely making it? What if we're angry or confused or you've been wounded? What if you just don't have enough strength to give anymore? Let me tell you, in that case, we can be loved. We can respond to God's open invitation to us. We can receive God's nourishment. We can experience the new life that God has in store for us. We can receive mercy. We can be filled with God's unconditional love. We can be forgiven. And we can be comforted not because we confessed or we did anything, but as we return to God, not because we did. Remember, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. And also, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are one who is loved and can love. Can help those in need and be helped when you are in need. Can tell your story of new life in Jesus and receive new life in Jesus. Can show mercy. Can receive mercy. Can give and receive God's unconditional love. Can forgive and be forgiven. Can comfort others and be comforted with God's undeniable compassion. Our Bible reading starts with a funny beginning. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts." It sounds like you're on a ship, you know, like ahoy, it's something like that. It gets your attention, though. So, ho, everyone! God calls you to return. And God knows you're already there. Amen.